You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
All right, I'm Paul.
And I'm Sherry.
And we're here today. We're going to have a great conversation, aren't we, babe?
We are.
Babe, tell us a little bit about, or tell our listeners here, what we've been doing this last couple of days.
So it's really cool. Paul and I have, at the beginning of January, we talked about putting into our schedule some allotted times away from our children to just breathe fresh air into our lives and just slow down a little bit, catch our breath, and enjoy one another. And so this has been one of those weekends where we've taken a couple days and gotten away. And so we went to a really cool little town called Whittier. And didn't realize, but this little town was originated. It started as an army base.
Yeah.
In Alaska. And so back in 1941 or two, something like that.
Good minute ago.
So anyway, it's been really cool. We went through and had to go through a one-way tunnel to get into it. And it's just a really small little area in between a bunch of really big mountains and a little bit of water.
Lots of snow.
It was so funny. As we were going up through there, we saw a car. I mean, a car was completely buried. And this guy was using his, bulldozer or what was it?
Yeah, front end loader, try to get snow away from it.
Yeah, and I asked you, how does he know where to stop? Because how do you know there's a car there and it's not just a snowbank or a... how do you know you just don't hit
car!
That car? I don't know, it was really crazy because then you just saw just a tiny little piece of
the
car.
We saw it, just a tiny little... Yeah, it was crazy.
Anyway,
well,
it was fun.
I think it's worth just hitting pause here for a second and saying that, years ago, someone said to us, when we were young parents, they said, every year you need to take two vacations, one with your kids and one without your kids, because the one with your kids doesn't really count.
Well, and I think they termed it different.
They said that when you're with your kids, you're still making meals for them. You're still solving problems.
Yes.
Depending on their age, you're still cleaning up messes.
Yes.
And so you're not really off. But the one without your kids is where you really rest and recover. And I will tell you, we've for years tried to incorporate just getaways for you and I. And I think in the last couple of years, we've been a little better. But this year, we're really just,
What did they call it, though? One was an actual, I remember them saying, one was a vacation. When you and I got away, that was vacation. But when it was with our kids, wasn't it a trip or something?
Yeah, maybe.
There was a big there was a distinction, a difference there, because they are not the same.
No, they're not. No. And honestly, time away from our kids makes us better parents.
Yeah, it's really necessary.
And we love our kids. Children, if you're listening, ladies, if you're listening, we love you a ton. But this time away really does, just pouring into each other, dad and mom just pouring into each other. It does make us better. And I would say if you're a single parent, the principle applies. Time away from your kids makes you a better parent. Whether that's, just you or some friends, but I would work aggressively to incorporate that into your calendar and make sure you get some time away. Yeah.
And time away does not, just want to clarify, it does not mean you have to spend a lot of money. You could take your tent. We've done that.
Yep.
We've taken our tent out and we've taken grocery money and we've spent a couple days away from our kids. So just want to clarify, time away does not, because you might be I can't take time away. It costs a lot. Truthfully, it does not have to cost a lot of money.
No, that's a great point.
So anyway, but it's been really fun. So we're actually recording this podcast right in the middle of our time away.
Yep, or a little Airbnb.
Yeah,
it's good. Fun. So, well, hey, if you, this is a part two of a three-part series that we're doing. We started it last podcast, which we talked about teaching our kids to listen and to learn. And so just a bit of review here, the idea that these days are different than those days, right? So, when we were growing up, everybody was talking, but you weren't able to be heard as broadly as you are these days. These days, people still are talking, but it's very possible for a teenager to have a platform on the same media source that the president of the United States has. Like, so
welcome to the internet.
Yeah, no, I mean, Instagram, TikTok,
yes.
You know, Twitter, YouTube, and any number of social media platforms allow people to speak to as big an audience as world leaders. And so it's so important, I think, that these days we're, as parents, we're teaching our kids, you know, to listen to people who are worth listening to and to be learning from people. Because just because someone has a big platform doesn't mean they're worth listening to.
Right.
Right? Just because people are speaking and are being listened to doesn't mean they're a good source of wisdom or someone from whom we want our children to learn. And so, you know, what we're talking with you as the parent right now is like, how do we teach our kids to listen?
Mm-hmm.
Because in our culture today, it seems like everybody's talking. And I will tell you, it's the wise man, it's the wise woman who listens well and who, because they listen so well, when they speak, they actually have something worth saying. They have something worth listening to.
Right.
Yeah, because it is amazing. I'll tell you, as I listen to, and I'm a big fan of social media, and, you know, when I get on there, I see some of the reels, I'm like blown away, just the absolute trash that's like that's coming across there. And it's getting like thousands and thousands of likes and comments. And I'm like, dude, this is like some dude farting on somebody can get thousands of likes and listens. And yet, you know, you get somebody.
Is that the kind of stuff you like?
it does make me giggle. But,
I mean, but, anyway, I'm not watching people farting on people, so
no, but
there
it's,
is
it's
that.
Out there. It's out there, right? I mean, just the nonsense that's out there, and that people are. It is funny, babe.
It's but, funny, huh?
No, but it's just crazy. And so the point that we're trying to make is that just because you're talking doesn't mean you're worth listening to.
Right.
And we want to teach our kids this. And so we started the conversation last podcast. Why do you keep staring at me, babe?
Because I can't stop. I have this perpetual smile that won't go away now because I'm like,
you're
seriously,
thinking about what I'm watching
just,
on.
I know. I'm like, what kind of stuff do you spend your time watching?
I don't watch that all the time.
Oh, my word. Oh.
So,
anyway.
Okay. So, you know, the conversation started last week with, you know, how do we teach our kids to listen and learn from good sources? And we said there's three ways we can do that. It starts with number one, modeling the way.
Right.
If we want our kids to listen to good sources.
Back to that funny
thought. Back to the fart joke. All right, here we go.
Modeling the way.
Huh? You're ridiculous.
That's why God didn't give us boys.
No. I'm going to kick you off the podcast, babe.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I am really.
Why are you so distracted?
Oh,
gosh.
I will pull it together.
Yes, for the love of God. All right, so we want to model the way. And one of the things we talked about last time was if your kids are going to learn how to listen, they're going to watch you.
Yes.
And one of the things we talked about last time is, you know, there are times you're going to get critiqued and you're going to receive feedback as a parent. What do you do with that? Like when you get pushback on an idea or when you or someone's disagreeing with you and giving you hard to receive feedback, how do you handle that? Because your kids are going to watch how you handle that. They're going to watch whether or not you listen and learn from that feedback. And they're going to do the same thing. So if you missed that, go back and listen to that podcast.
That was a really great part of the podcast.
Yeah,
great
I agree.
Point.
That was good.
Yeah.
And then today we're going to talk about monitor their friends. Hey, because believe it or not, your kids are listening to their friends. And they're forming a worldview and they're forming opinions based on the input from their friends.
Yeah.
And then our next podcast, we'll talk about managing their calendar, the power of managing their calendar. And how important that is when it comes to teaching your kids to listen and to learn. So, all right, well, let's get into it. Are we done giggling over silly things, babe?
Yeah, I've got myself under control
now. All right, good,
now.
Good. All right.
Until you say something funny again.
Yeah, well, here we go. So, listening and learning, right? So, believe it or not, your kids, their friends have a stage. And on that stage, they're saying things. And your kids are on the front row, and they're listening.
Well, I mean, so let's think about if you send your kids to school, right? Think about all of the time that they have with the influence of those friends.
Right.
It's a big, like, that's a big influence.
arguably they spend more time with their friends than they do with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whether through school or, you know, online or at on some team, you know, whether it's a soccer team or,
yes.
you know, swim team or a book club or book club. I don't know. I mean, you know, chess team or whatever.
Sure. There's all those kinds of things.
Church, you know.
Yes.
Boy Scouts, whatever group they're in. They do spend more time with their friends than they do with you. And here's why that's important. Because their friends are talking.
Yes.
And your kids are listening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so here's what they're talking about. They're talking about sex. They're talking about money. They're talking about clothes. They're talking about work ethic. They're talking about school. They're talking about religion. And your kids are listening. And they're shaping their ideals and opinions based on what their friends are saying. Their friends are on a stage and they're talking and your kids are listening. And it's such a big deal. Now, here, you know, one of the things that we keep talking about is the wisdom that we get from the book of Proverbs. And so I want to just run this past you. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble."
Yes.
Right? Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Hey, listen, if you're a parent and your kids are, you know, they're in school, I mean, I would even say in preschool, right? You will
absolutely
very quickly know what kind of friends they're hanging out with based on how your kids are acting.
So, I mean, I think you bring a great point out about their friends, but I, as a mom, like our kids didn't go a lot out of the house when they were really young. So I kind of want to just speak to young moms a little bit. And I want to say,
okay, so how young? Like, when does so it, what do you mean by that? Say that. You sound like we made them stay home, like, in a conclave or something.
What?
Yeah.
No, but I'm thinking, like, even as you're raising, like, your one-year-old, your two-year-old, your three-year-old, right before they hit that, maybe that pre-kindergarten school, your influence of what you put in front of them, like, is so big, whether it be, I mean, for me, I didn't really hand them a phone because we didn't really do phone. That sounds horrible, but there wasn't a lot of phone when our kids were growing up, right?
Right.
It was more, you put them, if you wanted some time, you put them in front of a TV show.
Right.
And so I want to say, do you remember this? Like, there was a point where our children wanted to watch, I think, we typically kept them in pretty clean shows, but there was a point where they wanted to watch SpongeBob. And do you remember this?
I do remember SpongeBob Square, yeah.
They literally... And I think it was just a matter of maybe like a month or so, and we saw their attitudes changing. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I was like, where is this coming from? And I looked at you and I was like, and then we just started to think about like their inputs, you know, because their friends weren't a whole lot of inputs at that point, right? But it was literally the show that they were watching speaking into their life and influencing them on their attitude and how they respond to situations. And I was like, wait a minute.
Right.
We are not having this. And so we cut the show and put on something that we felt like was more of a reaction of how we wanted our kids to respond. And it completely changed.
So
when they're younger, like those influences can even be, that input can even be what you're putting in front of your child for them to view and watch.
And here's, babe, that's a great point. Here's why this is important. Because, you know, one of the baby steps that we talk to parents about is, like, you are the creator, the manager, and the protector of the environment of your home.
Yes.
Right? Your job as a parent is to create a great environment. And guess what? The inputs that you allow into your children will, in large part, shape the environment of your home. So if you want your kids to be disrespectful and loud, put SpongeBob in front of them or whatever. I mean, you name the show, right? So you can actually determine the way your home is beginning to feel and look by the inputs that you put in front of your children.
Well, and the going back to, it's what they're listening to, right? Your kids are listening. Guys, your kids are listening from a very young age. They
yes.
are watching. They are getting, I mean, they're formulating how to respond to a no.
Right.
By what you're putting in front of them when they're little, their response. I mean, like, so I just, yeah, it's like that input, even at a young age, is so important. I mean, and obviously then we're talking about friends, you know, that input of friends when they get older is a huge influence, probably probably more so than a TV show, maybe at that point. I mean, TV can impact them as well.
Social media, TV, I mean, inputs. We're talking inputs, right? Right. Whether it's, I mean, we're specifically talking about them. Friends. But, I mean, again, the idea, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble.
Right.
And, you know, parents, if it's a TV that's speaking into your child's life, a show on a phone, their peers, whatever, those inputs that they're listening to will shape how they do life.
And I literally want to throw this out here because this is a huge, huge input, and it needs to be spoken, and that is music.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, music can change a child.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just that input of music as well is like...
And, okay, so I don't know exactly what you're talking about in that regards, but I will say music obviously can shape how they... The lyrics.
The
okay.
lyrics
I,
of music.
I thought maybe that's what
you... Yes,
But I will
to
tell
clarify.
You this, like, you could have... Music can change their mood. So I know in the morning in our home, right, even now when they get up, it's we have soft jazz music. It creates a soft
environment, right? Yes.
Whereas, you know, when we're cleaning up the house, I don't want jazz music. I want some dance music because we want big energy, loud,
like,
fun.
Like, let's get it done.
Let's get it done.
Right.
Right. So, again, inputs, right?
But, yeah, the inputs are huge.
So, okay, let's get back to the idea of
friends. Yes.
And I will tell you, the older they get, the more significant this becomes. And so we noticed this, you know, a few years ago when our kids were younger. I started going on every Monday. I would go to lunch with my kids at their school. And this was, we had some in middle school and some in elementary school. And I realized one day, I do meetings. That's what I do. And quite frankly, the most important meeting I could have in my life would be the meeting with those people over whom my influence will never end, right? And that's my children.
Right.
So I just started scheduling a lunch meeting, and I would rotate. And every week I'd go to lunch with a different kiddo. And it was amazing as I sat with our children and had lunch with them and saw their friends. Things begin to make sense to me.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, now yes. I know why they're using that phrase.
Yes.
Because their friend, I just heard their friend using that phrase. Or now I know, sometimes, you know, the teacher would come up and address the group and I could see their friend's behavior. You know,
yes.
If they responded respectfully or if they responded disrespectfully.
Right.
I could see that same behavior in our kids.
Right.
And so I will just tell you, me going and eating lunch with our kids allowed me so much insight into why my kids were acting the way they were acting, because I got to see their friends. And some of those friends, then I was like, hey, we got to keep our kids hanging out with those kids.
Right, right.
And others were like, we got to figure out a way to stop that friendship.
Yes.
Because that is not
yes.
okay.
Yeah, you could literally, I agree. I mean, they pick up those traits and those characteristics, and it's not like your kid is like, hey, I want to be like that. It naturally kind of morphs some of those traits.
Right.
And then they bring them home and you kind of wonder where they're coming from. And so I think as a parent, you know, we kind of stumbled on because you did meetings, but I think as a parent, if you have opportunity, it might not be school, but I'm just going to say, go like step into your kid's environment, whether it be a sports environment that your kids are around those friends a lot, whether it be maybe it's a neighborhood environment where mom, you could get out and, just kind of maybe go out and give them some cookies or, you know, like find a way to step into that environment for a little bit, right? To get to know who are these people that they're hanging around with, because they will impact your kids.
Yeah, I was just reading this morning, reading a book called Boys Adrift, and I will talk about that book a lot over our coming podcast. It was an amazing book. But one of the things they said was be in their environment, but not necessarily part of their environment.
Yes.
You know, especially
yes.
as your kids get older, they yes. don't want you, they're not looking for you to like play their games.
No,
right?
No.
But you do need to be in their environment. And so one mom said, you know, what I do is I just keep filling up the candy bowl.
Absolutely.
I just make sure it's a small bowl.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So I just
yeah.
got to keep going
just
up and
smart.
Filling it up, right?
Yeah. Or be the mom that's the transportation to an event.
Yes. We've done that a lot.
You can
we?
Hear.
Yep.
I mean, as a parent, you have to be like, get in their environment, like literally be available. But I agree with you. Don't be so much in their environment that you're one of them.
Yeah. You're not a playmate for the love of God. Like you're
yeah,
not a playmate.
Yes.
But yeah. you are monitoring their friends.
Right.
Now, here's why this is so important. I don't know if you parents have heard of a man named Jim Rohn. But he was, you know, most of the people who are writing self-help books today would credit him as being a big contributor into their ideology. Jim Rohn is like the father of self-development. Jim, R-O-H-N. Check him out. But one of the things he did, he talked a lot about the circle of five. And he said, you are the average of the five people with whom you spend the most time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, and the cool thing about that is if you don't like who you are, change...
Your friend group. Right.
Right. And you will change. Right. But this is kind of incredible. One of the things that he would say a lot was, more often than not, we're completely unaware of the similarities between us and our circle of five. In other words, we don't realize that we're like the people we hang out with. People on the outside looking in can be like, well, I'll tell you why you're, you know, I can tell you why you act the way you do.
Right.
Look at your friends.
Right.
But more often than not, this is what Rohn would say, we are not aware of it.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, if your kids are disrespectful, look at their friend group. If your kids like soccer or like sports, they're athletically, like, look at their friend group. If they hate school, look at their friend group. Like,
right.
Not always, but the larger percent. In fact, there's a man named Dr. McClellan. He is from Harvard, is a professor from Harvard. And he will say that 90% of your success or failure in life is attributable to what he calls your reference group, like your circle of friends. You are like the people with whom you associate the most.
Yes. I mean, and I think, you know, we a lot of times will equate that to adults, but we need to equate that to children.
100%.
Because, I mean, children are the most formative. Like, I mean, you think about them, they're just little sponges when they're young.
Right.
And if you can incorporate that when they're young, like helping them to understand, you know, just, hey, you're picking up things from your friends that aren't really great. If they can get that, then that will help them all the way through life, right?
We just had this recently, you know, within the last couple of years with one of our kids in middle school, with a friend, and they would associate with this friend, and this friend was not nice. Like, they were snippy, disrespectful. We spent time with their family. We watched how this individual treated their family. And we're like, holy cow, that's horrible. And we saw that attitude begin to bleed into our home.
Yeah.
And it came to a peak where they actually, you know, were engaged in a competition with this friend. And we watched this friend be very disrespectful to authorities. And our child saw it. And we later talked about it. And we were able to say, hey, did you see how they acted? And they're like, yeah. And then we kind of walked the dog backwards, and all of a sudden our child began to see, like, oh my gosh, I've been acting the same way.
Yeah, a lot of times they don't. A lot of times
they don't see it.
You know, even as adults, we don't always see it.
Right.
Until, you know, I just a rabbit trail here a little bit, but I, like, when I was growing up, I didn't always see things in my life because I was in the inside of my life.
Inside.
Yep. Whereas you on the outside came in and you're like, hey, I see this and this and this.
Excuse me.
So I feel like, you know, you need people to speak into your life because you don't always see, you know, your kids won't see it. Maybe the adults won't see it, but outsiders will grab a hold of it. So we as parents really have this responsibility because we are on the outside of their friend group and we can see, see these tendencies, right?
Well, they won't receive it all the time. This particular child of whom I'm speaking didn't receive it when we first talked about it.
Yes.
But after that public incident.
Yes.
And we sat down and began to talk about it, and they were like, oh my gosh, I do see how I have been acting like that. And they began to change their friend group, and their behavior completely changed.
Well, so talking about, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, when our kids are younger, so specifically when our kids had those bad friend choices, maybe in elementary school, and we were like trying to steer them away from their friends, I feel like, you know, I just want to give a piece of advice here to parents. If you're going to take away a friend, you need to grab a hold of a good friend that they like and really make a way for that friendship to happen.
Yeah, that's really good, babe.
Because the thing is, I mean, maybe maybe you're like, hey, let's go to coffee or a coffee. Listen to me. let's go get ice cream and let's take the good friend with us.
Right.
Or let's go to the park and take the good friend with us. And you as a parent help to build those relationships. I know we have built friendships with families because we wanted our kids to be around their kids.
Yes.
So I feel like, you know, if you take something away, parent, don't be like, hey, I'm punishing you. I'm taking that away. And now you got to figure it out, because then they're going to be mad. They're going to be hateful and they're going to be angry. But if they still might express those emotions, but if you can start to begin to fill that with goodness, you will reap the benefit of a good friendship then, and you will help them.
Yes, that's really good. And as you're talking, I'm thinking it's easy to stop. It's easy to disconnect them from bad friends. It's often inconvenient to help them develop new friends.
Yes.
But
yes,
it's always worth it.
Yes.
In the end, it's easy to say, hey, you can't hang out with that person. I forbid that.
Right.
Right. It's hard to empower or help them to create new healthy friendships.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the person your child becomes is largely influenced by the people to whom they're listening.
Yes. And so, you know, again, topping off on that one, I feel like parents, you need to create an environment that your kids would want to bring their friends to.
Yeah.
You know, like, it needs to be a fun environment. It needs to be an environment that's doing things. It needs to be, you know, like, you're involved. Because, I mean, if you're like, hey, I want you to bring your good friends to our house, and then you have a house that they can't do anything in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Or you're just curmudgeon and you're like, I don't want any noise in the living room. You know, like,
right.
You're really setting your child up for failure. I think creating that home or that car ride or that just that space where they are like, hey, yeah, I do want to bring this friend over because, you know, we are a fun family, or we are a family that does things together, you know.
And that's not always easy for the parent.
No, it's,
right?
It's it
not.
Really isn't easy.
Because I don't particularly, I mean, I remember one day we're sitting downstairs, and this is not, I'm no exaggeration here, 14 kids walked down the stairs.
I remember that.
We started counting, like, oh my gosh.
They were all lined up on the stairs.
14 children
yes.
walked down.
Yes. And they were not, I think 2 or 3 of them were ours.
Oh yeah.
They were all friends.
Yeah, no, it was just an insane amount of
yes.
But and so then that's not always like, sometimes I just want to watch a movie, or I just want it to be quiet. And there are times where you do create
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
But this, like, helping to shape the inputs in your child's life will cost us a little bit.
Yes.
But it's worth it.
Absolutely will.
It's worth it. So, yeah. Now, listen, I want to say this, and then we want to move into some practical ways that you can really begin to monitor the influences and the voices in your child's life. I will say it like this. It's easier to do it when they're young.
Yes. Oh, it's... Yeah. If you create and establish a habit when they're young of, hey, like, just that back and like just being involved with them.
Right.
Then they don't think it's weird when you're like, you know, hey, let me take you to the sports event, or
right.
hey, let's grab your friends and go get coffee, or hey, let's then it. Yes. It's much, much easier when if you're not involved when they're younger. That mean, it doesn't mean it's impossible. Right. I mean,
right.
I don't want to paint this. If you don't, you do it when they're young, you definitely don't have a chance when they're older, because that is not true.
No, it's not true, but it's a lot easier.
But it's way easier.
And to shape the people from whom they're receiving information,
yes.
to shape the voices, to influence like their inputs in their life. It's easier if you start young than it is if you, you know, cause I mean, when they're 15 and you try to get involved, they're like, dude, what?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who are you and where are you coming from? Whereas if you've been a part of shaping those influences and shaping those inputs.
And I think talking about like what kind of friendships they should have.
Yeah.
You know, like actually having conversation, maybe over like a coffee time or a ice cream time or a French fry time. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like literally saying, hey, like, you know, these good friend choices will help you to, and then show them paint the picture for them. Because right, we're growing these children to become
great adults,
right? I mean, let's not forget the picture here. The picture is so that they're great, influential people, right? And so I think when you keep that picture in mind and you help them understand, I think using the phrase like we did with our kids when they were kind of like elementary about the 5 people you hang around with.
Yeah, all the
and
time. We so talk about
now,
all the time.
It's no joke. I think our 20-year-old came and said, I'm worried about like the 5 friends that I'm hanging with.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that's amazing, you
yeah.
know? And so we were just like, hey, if it's not all of them, you know, you could change one of them, right? I mean, or you could change them all.
Hey, the quickest way to change your life is to change your friends.
Right? I mean,
the quickest way to change your life, change your friends.
Now, it might not be that easy, but it is worth it in the end.
It's 100% right? worth it. And and so teach our kids this young.
Yes, teach it young.
Like the people that you hang out with, you will be like the people, you know, you will be like them.
Yes.
So, okay. So, how do you get it done? Here's three easy ways to monitor and influence the input from your children's friends. Number one, and we've kind of alluded to this already, just be aware of their circle.
Yes.
Like, do you know the voices that are speaking into your child's life? Do you know what TV shows they're watching? Do you know what games they're playing? Do you know the circle of friends with whom they're associating?
And
I will just tell you, like, it's there are only there's only a handful of environments in which your kids are hanging out with people. Like, so church, school, neighborhood,
sports,
like teams,
yeah,
online. Like, these are the places that you ought to be paying attention. Who are my kids hanging out with when they're in those environments?
So are you being the helicopter parent?
No, I don't think so.
I'm just throwing that out there because, you know, people might be like, are you being the helicopter parent? And I guess to me, I would want to say I'm not.
I am an air assault qualified soldier, so I love helicopters. And sometimes you do need to air assault in and clean out the enemy.
You've got to hover over a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But not into, like we were just saying, you got to plant yourself. You want your kids to do well, but you don't want to be so worrisome about every moment of their life.
No. And
so listen, I think the helicopter parent is the parent that.
I want to go back and say, like, we've watched our kids work through some difficult friendships.
Yes.
And I just told a story of one of them that had a friend that we did not like and was disrespectful and not a great person. We did not like this friend. And we talked with our child about it, but she was in middle school. And so we gave her more autonomy, right? The older they are, the more autonomy they get. The younger they are, you know, the less autonomy they have.
Sure.
And we watched her work through the difficult process of arriving at a conclusion that this is not a great input into my life.
Yes.
And so, am I a helicopter parent? I mean, I'm going to speak into their lives, but I'm not going to say I forbid this. The older they get, right?
Right.
But I am going to give guidance and hopefully steer them in the right direction.
Good answer.
Yeah. No, because here's the thing. Like, if I don't let them do some groundwork on their own, if I always clear their path.
No, they never learn.
They're never going to learn what it's like to move through an obstacle.
No.
Sometimes they have to clear the path.
That's
but
right.
What I can do is I can be available to give guidance.
Yes.
And I've seen a few instances over the years where our kids would have just a breakdown, like the relationship just was not working and they would have a breakdown, and that's where we come in and give guidance.
Yes.
You know, and we've been giving guidance along the way, not to say we haven't been, but wow, geez, you got me really distracted there. That was a pretty big accusation there, Mrs. Peterson.
Well, I just was curious on your thought there for a minute.
So be aware of their circle.
Yes.
Be aware of their inputs.
Yes.
And we've already talked about this a little bit. Like, be involved.
Yes.
You know, fill the snack dish in their
parties. To a proper involvement, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean,
don't be that over-involved weird parent.
Right. No, yeah. Nobody wants that. Open up your home. Make your home a place where the neighborhood kids want to hang out.
Yes.
That means you got to be okay with some noise. There's going to be
a little bit of mess.
You're going to have, you know, you're going to have games.
I've never heard an older parent after their kids are gone say, gosh, I'm glad the mess is gone. They always say, I wish I had a little mess in my house. So just be okay with the mess, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm going to remind you that next time we walk in and there's like 40 pairs of shoes in our
There's
floor.
Always that. I mean,
That's good. Okay, so how do we monitor and influence the inputs into our children's lives? Number one, be aware of their circle. Like, who's speaking into their lives? Number two, include diversity in their circle. And I don't necessarily mean it could include, you know, gender diversity, racial diversity. That's fine.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I'm speaking specifically of some age diversity.
Yes.
This
is actually a really, really great point.
Yeah. So I think I want to intentionally include people in my children's lives who are a little older, who are going to say the same things I would say if I were in that environment.
Yes.
And so, you know, for instance, for us, we had a family friend who was just a great, great person, and our kids absolutely loved her. They would go over there, and they would spend nights at her house, and sometimes they'd spend a weekend, and she was old enough to be, you know, their mother, but she was just one of those really cool people that my kids just loved, and she was able to speak things into their lives that we would have said as well, but they wouldn't listen to us because we were mom and dad.
Yes.
And so we included her in that circle, and our kids loved her and learned from her the very same kinds of things that we would have taught them.
Yes. There are a lot. I think you need to grab a hold of those different age groups of people for your kids. And just, I mean, when there's opportunity, your kids are there. Because that needs to be nourished. It needs to be developed. It needs to be, because there will come points when your kids are older those are the influences that you want speaking loudly into their life, because they align with what you believe.
And they're going to say things similar to what you might say, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it could be a youth leader at your church.
Yes.
It could be a coach.
Yep.
Right?
It could be a teacher.
It could be a teacher, right?
Yeah.
It could be a family friend. It could be, babe, you said earlier.
So I was just going to say, this is a great opportunity. I'm just like, for the love of God, grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if you're listening to this, but parents, you're going to be that one day. If you're listening, you have such a big voice in your grandchild's life.
Yeah.
I mean, it is ridiculous. I just was having a conversation with one of my older daughters, and they were just like, grandparents mean so much.
Yeah.
Like to do things with your grandparents, to get a call from your grandparents, to get a text from your grandparents, it just doesn't matter, to go get a cup of coffee. Like, you have such a big influence in your grandchild's life. It's formative. You're for them. I would say to you, parent, if this is an influence, obviously there might not be grandparents that are not good influences, correct? I mean, so I would just say, if that's the case, then you want to find somebody that's like a grandparent, right?
Yeah.
And place that child into their life and allow that involvement. Sometimes that ends up happening. So you want to find somebody that's older like that, that can speak into their life. But if you have this amazing grandparent, man, allow that child to go spend time with them. They're going to learn so much from that grandparent. And grandparent, just jump in. You might think you're too old, or you don't know things, but you know what? You know so much. You have so much to offer to your grandchild. So I just encourage you so much to be a part of their lives.
Yeah, like,
that's such a big deal.
Well, I was just, again, reading this book, Boys Adrift, and the author is actually speaking at some point to single moms and I'll just read to you. He said, I often have single moms say, I don't have a community of men to raise my son. I don't even have his father, and I wouldn't want his father back. So how do I help as a single mom help my child transition into manhood?
Yes.
Right. Or become an adult. He said, and I suggest to that mother that she must do the same thing that every other parent of a boy has to do. Find a community of men that can give your son healthy and life-affirming examples of what it means to be a man.
Yes.
And he said, it's hard for parents, even happily married parents, to do this alone. The community you choose might be a Boy Scout troop, an all-male Bible study, or a sports team coached by men that you know and trust. And then he says this is really important. If a boy does not have a community of men, then he's likely to look elsewhere for his role models. He may look to the media, where he'll encounter a blizzard of images, like musicians or movie stars who degrade and denigrate women and are just like the reckless, right?
Right.
Or he may look to his peers, to boys his own age. And then he says this, the results of teenage boys looking to other teenage boys for guidance are often confused and self-destructive.
Yes.
Teenage boys are seldom competent to guide one another to manhood. That's what men are for.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, the point being, make sure that your child's circle of input is not limited to people their age.
Yes, absolutely.
Bring some wise elders into the mix.
Right.
That will help to shape and influence good inputs, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, well, you think, like, a lot of times in like other countries, they say it takes a village to raise
yeah,
a child.
Yeah.
And that is so true.
Yeah.
Like, it is not just the parent, right?
Right.
So you have to, like, parents, it is your job, like, to align other people up to influence your child for greatness, right?
So you say it's not just the parent, and you're right, but I'm going to be very careful about who I invite into
absolutely.
That circle.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because I want to make sure that they're speaking values that I embrace.
Absolutely.
You know? And as my child gets older, they obviously get to pick more, right? You know, but
right.
when they're
well,
young.
If you don't pick those influences, Paul, like if we don't as a parent pick those influences, those kids are going to pick those influences.
They will, yeah.
And they are, then we have no guidance, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the older they get, the harder the guidance is. But if you can establish that guidance when they're younger, again, like you have those adults placed into their life, right?
100%.
I mean, it's just so good.
100%.
So good. So.
Hey, let's hit the third one. Okay, this, I'm going to try out a metaphor here. I want to say keep paper friends in the mix as opposed to only digital
is
friends.
Is this not even funny that we're like having...
yeah.
I mean, this is the world we live
here's,
in, right?
Here's what I mean by this. So in the military, like when we go to the field, like a lot of what we do is digital. Like we use computers and whatnot. But we're constantly talking about, hey, make sure you have a paper copy. Make sure you have analog products with you.
Right.
So that if the digital goes down, we still know how to fight the war.
Sure.
The beautiful thing about paper is I can hold it in my hand. I can touch it.
Yes.
And so what I would say to you as parents, make sure that your friends' inputs are not exclusively digital.
Yes.
Make sure that their friends are not exclusively online friends.
Yes.
And there's a few reasons. Because, number one, tons and tons of research has been done confirming the fact that there is power in physical touch.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Something happens when there's physical touch. It releases chemicals, it decreases anxiety, it can just... I mean, there's something beautiful that happens when physicality is in play.
Yes.
And if your friends, if your children only have online relationships, they're going to miss that.
Well, I mean, I think we can speak to that a little bit, even with our children, you know, in the Army, like a lot of times, I mean, some of our kids now, because we've moved, have online friends.
Yeah.
And before they established friendships here in Alaska, they felt, even with their online friends, they felt extremely lonely.
Yeah.
Extreme, because they didn't have that. You need those tangible friends. You need that, like that paper
that
friend,
paper
right?
Paper copy. Yep. Something you can have hands on.
Yes, that can hug you when you're falling apart, and or that can hear you. You know, again, those good friends that are just physical friends.
It's one thing to play, you know, Call of Duty online with a friend who's in a different state. It's another thing to run through the woods side by side with a buddy.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And I will tell you, it's one thing for a friend to listen to you on the phone from another state.
Yes.
It's another thing to have a friend sitting on the couch beside you working through a problem or helping you with a math problem.
Yes.
And so, parents, I would simply say, make sure that your children have friends that they can see with their eyeballs, right?
Right.
In the same room.
Yes.
Because of the power of physicality. But there's another reason. I want my children to understand how to read body language.
Yes. Absolutely.
And if their friends are all digital, they're gonna miss opportunities to understand the power of fidgeting, they may miss the cues of eyes that drop
right,
when things are being said, right?
Yes.
And so there's, you know, as they learn from their friends, sometimes they're going to have friends that are not great friends, right? They're not going to be truthful, and they're going to see how their body language changes when they're saying things that are deceitful.
Yes.
And I want my kids to see that
right.
so they can learn as they grow. There's power in understanding body language.
Yes.
And if my friends are all digital, I'm going to miss that.
Yeah. No, those are really, really great observations.
So three ideas to... help you as a parent to monitor and influence your child's inputs. Be aware of their circle, include diversity in their circle, and make sure you keep paper friends, friends that you can actually touch, you can have hands on in their life. And I think that goes a long way towards shaping inputs in your child's life that will help them become a great adult.
Absolutely.
All right, babe, we're almost there.
You are not going to ask me
the
question.
I'm going to ask you right now. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No.
Are you sure?
No, I'm positive.
Because, hey, here's why I ask. Because we'll hit stop on the podcast and then Mrs. Peterson will drop like a wisdom bomb. I'm like, my gosh, babe, why didn't you say that in the podcast? I don't know. Anyway, so, all right. We're going to wrap up. But before we go, we want to just say to you guys, if these podcasts are helpful for you, please share it on your social media. Please encourage other friends to listen. We just hit a big benchmark for our podcast. We crossed 1,000 downloads,
Yay!
Which was huge, so we're excited about that. Thank you for listening and sharing. Reach out to us if you have questions. We'd love to hear from you. Your encouragement, that means a lot to us.
Yes.
You know, as we're beginning to get this thing off the ground. So we love you. We want to help you raise great adults because the world needs your child to be great.
Yes.
And greatness starts at home.
It really does.
Yeah. So, all right, that's what we got. Thank you guys a ton for listening. We'll see you.
Bye.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.